Man,
sup?
What's going on, B? How you doing today, man?
Man, I'm blessed, man. We are blessed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Had a blast, man. We had a blast over the holiday, huh?
Yeah, we did.
Had getting a great to go time. Out, hang out at Walt Disney World, and going to Star Wars Land, and our podcast from the Planet Batu.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
Building our droids. I mean, that was just a phenomenal experience to take the family on. New business, had a couple of business meetings in there.
Exactly.
You know, our big shout out to Alec Arnold.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and excited about bringing him and partnering together with what we're doing and, you know, with our multifamily certification programs, putting on these big events.
Exactly.
In 2020. Yeah, man, it was awesome, man.
Man,
it's time to go to work, though.
That's right. Well, thank you for joining us, man. This is episode 14 of the By the Block podcast, By the Block with Brian Chavis. And a special shout out to all of our sponsors, and thank you so much for you know, helping us put this together. We
Absolutely.
Really couldn't do it without you. And in today's segment, we're going to be talking about how the mastering the art of negotiation. This is in chapter 5 of your book, Buy It, Rent It, Profit. How do I get the best deal on a property? Mm-hmm. And so mastering the art of negotiation, and I've been working with you for several years now, and I understand the importance of negotiation. Love for you to, you know, dive deeper into that and why you put this portion in the book, and you know, tell us more about why negotiation skills are so important when it comes to investing in multifamily deals.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was, you know, obviously it's important because you're always, you know, you're always negotiating.
Yep.
You know, you're always negotiating. As soon as you see an opportunity and you put a letter of intent out, you're always negotiating. You're always negotiating in some instances with your team. Mm. You know, you know, I think everything we do business wise is, you know, it's always, you know, and some people are uncomfortable with that negotiation
right, exactly.
aspect of the business. You know, I know in certain instances I have been uncomfortable, you know, until I was taught how to,
right.
You know, and I credit, you know, Gary Sheffield and our time that we had together with really, me learning the art of negotiation. I had yet signed a book deal at that time.
Right.
But he was going through the playing with the Yankees.
Right.
But he was going through this period where he was exploring real estate. Alex Rodriguez had bought a couple of apartment complexes. They were teammates. So he was exploring that. So he got with me and we were, you know, spending a lot of time from sun up to sundown together. Monday through Friday and on the weekends, just visiting properties and him going to look at opportunities and, you know, getting my feedback. But he was also negotiating with the Yankees at the time, you know, and he was negotiating directly with George Steinbrenner, from what I understand and from what I remember.
Right.
And just talking to, and listening to him talk about the art of negotiation, because he was negotiating his own deals.
Okay.
And I just remember one thing he told me was, you never get paid what you're worth. You only get paid what you negotiate. And so for me, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, you don't ever get paid what you're worth. You can only get paid what you negotiate. You know, so damn it, you better learn how to start negotiating. You know what I'm saying? And so what is that art of negotiating? So
right.
How do you read people? How do you read a situation? And, you know, and it's tough. You know, I was talking with, you know, one of our team members, one of our coaching clients, you know, early this morning. And, you know, how do you... Because the most difficult person to negotiate
right.
with is yourself.
Mm.
That's going to be the one person that does you in.
Right.
Bury you. Because, you know, sometimes you get over emotional. Sometimes you feel like you got to pull the trigger. Sometimes you feel like your window is expiring. You know, sometimes you know, whatever the pressure. Bills, you know, we've been there together.
Absolutely.
We've been there. You've seen me on my rise after being sick and having to start over from scratch. You know, all the pressures of having to be places or do certain things.
Absolutely.
And I won't put anybody out there or any of the events that we've done. But, I, you know, you remember me speaking and being a part and me really not feeling like I should be there. I feel like I was, you know, underappreciated, undervalued. But I was there because we had to pay the bills.
Right.
So, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, the biggest issue with negotiating is really negotiating with yourself. So understanding how to get grounded and then understanding, you know, what tactics and techniques can you use and employ to be able to seize the situation or see the situation from all aspects. And, you know, when I negotiated this book for the first time, just a quick story.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in New York City, the Mecca, you know, and this is not a self-published book. You know, this is, you know, published by one of the largest publishers in the world, Simon & Schuster. I remember flying out to New York, meeting with my literary agent, and then the literary agent negotiating with several publishers. Mm. Not just one, several publishers.
Right.
So what they did was a bidding on my book. And we had five meetings set up. November 30th was my birthday.
Okay.
So I'm in New York. I'm on my birthday. I think it was 2008.
Right.
So I'm in New York. Got five meetings set up. I got my agent with me. And first meeting we go to was Simon & Schuster. No, I'm sorry. Some clearinghouse, publisher house, some smaller publisher. We meet not at their office. We meet at, I believe, some kind of coffee shop or something.
Right, okay.
Guy was great. It was a great meeting, you know. Then we go to Simon & Schuster. We meet at their office.
Right.
Just me and my literary agent, who at the time looked like he was fresh out of college, you know. You know, it looked like he ain't too long in the tooth, have negotiated too many deals himself. So right, here we are, and we walk in Park Avenue, okay, New York City, the Park Avenue. We walk into the Simon & Schuster owned by CBS.
Okay.
So you just picture the big lobby, the marble floors, and that.
Absolutely.
Go in, we go to whatever floor. Door opens up. We go into the lobby. First person I see when we enter into the seating area after meeting the receptionist, didn't know at the time who it was, but it was Joel Osteen.
Wow.
Joel Osteen sitting there. He was negotiating a book. Just talked, said hello. Didn't really know who he was. I knew of him, I think, but I really wasn't, you know, a big fan at that time. I am a huge fan now. I listen to him every day. But at that time, had really no idea. You know, I'm feeling myself at this time. Right, I'm about to negotiate with Simon & Schuster. I'm bigger than life, you know. So, you know, yeah. He goes, we shake hands, we talk, and then he goes, and then I go into my meeting with my agent. Go into a conference room, big old room, right? Chairs all around, big conference room. Right. Just, all decked out, food in the middle. Big phone conference, all these things in the middle. So, you know, just your normal, you know, visioning a big conference room. Then all of a sudden, single file, one by one, all the chairs start filling up. These people start coming in. It just starts filling up the chairs.
Okay.
Probably like 15 people in this meeting. Myself, my agent, and then 15 people. And then at the head, the decision maker and the senior editor at the time, Michelle Lowry. I think 40% of the room were attorneys. So, you know, we're sitting there having to negotiate, and I'm having to, you know, really sit at this table and negotiate with Simon & Schuster.
Right.
Myself, my agent, you know, at the end of the day, I'm selling myself. And you know, and they're telling me what they like about me, and I'm telling them what I feel the value is, and so on and so forth. So, you know, negotiating. But at that time, I can just remember, you know, a lot of things I learned while dealing with Chef, and a lot of things that I've learned, and just, you know, in my own, you know, meditation periods, is just always understanding how the other person got paid, and always understanding that, you know, that, you know, again, that you're not going to get paid what you're worth. You're going to only get paid what you negotiate. And so just making sure I understood how they got paid, and then understood what I thought my value was, and making sure that you always got what you considered was your value. But the biggest thing that you have to do, and I did that day, is be willing to walk away. And I think most people, especially being in that position, never signing a book, knowing who the heck I was. Hell, people still don't know that I wrote this book. You know what I mean? This book's in the U.S. Library of Congress.
Exactly.
And people still don't, you know, don't know and associate, right? So you can imagine that no one knew who I was. I wasn't a big-time real estate mogul. I wasn't Donald Trump or Robert Kiyosaki. So I'm just sitting here negotiating but at the end of the day, you know, they talked, I talked, and I said, hey, listen, you know, greatly appreciate. My agent was like, you know, kind of wrapping up because we had a couple other meetings day. And Simon & Schuster was like, hey, listen, there's no need to take those other meetings. We're going to outbid everybody. And I can just remember saying, I greatly appreciate that, but we're going to go ahead and conclude this meeting. You know, mm-hmm. was willing to walk away. So you just have to know, I think, for the most part, if you're going to be a master negotiator, I think one of the biggest things is understanding what you're worth.
Okay.
Making sure you're getting that value. Understanding how the other person gets paid. And then more importantly, above all, be willing to walk away.
Be willing to walk away.
Be willing to walk away.
I love it, man. I love it. And thank you for breaking that down. So what you put in a segment in here is the keys for negotiating. And so I want you to take us through these five keys for actually negotiating a deal. First one was never agree to anything that the other party is not willing to put into writing. Why is that part of?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, it really, you know, the first couple of deals, real estate transactions that I've ever done, syndications, you know, deals in general that I've ever done was with attorneys, asset protection attorneys in the very beginning, back in the early mid-2000s. And a lot of what I've learned from that aspect was from the attorneys. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not in writing or the party's not willing to put it in writing, then technically to them it never happened. So, you know, they always wanted something in writing. If you're willing to put something in writing, then, you know, there's more confidence there that that individual is willing to back whatever it is they put in writing,
right, okay.
versus just verbally telling you, hey, yeah, I'll do this or I'll do that. You know, they always say talk is cheap, you know, put it in writing. You know, that's why you want to see, your opposition at that time. And I don't mean opposition in a negative way when you're negotiating, but your counterpart, you want to be able to know that they're willing to put whatever they say in writing.
I love it. I love it. And then you actually put a Bible verse in here. From King Solomon, and this was based on another key. Don't allow others to pressure or rush you into signing a contract. And then we had the quote here, see thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope
of a fool
than of him.
Than of him, yeah.
Absolutely. And so why are we not looking to allow others to rush or pressure us?
Well, and that's, for me, another major key in negotiating is timelines. You know, and I mentioned this in the beginning, is people get involved, whether it be self-inflicted wounds or because of the pressure of others, that they feel like they got to rush and put something together, or put some kind of deal together. I can remember us having a conversation with people, and they're like, well, maybe you should have more deals, or maybe you should do more of this. And I'm like, maybe we shouldn't.
Right.
Why should I? If you're authentic and you who you are, I shouldn't have to stand in front of a car, or I shouldn't have to take pictures in front of a plane. I shouldn't have to do certain things. You know what I mean? Why should I feel rushed to put an image out, you know, if it's not organic? Why should I feel rushed to be pressured to put deals together for the sake of looking like a mogul?
Absolutely.
You know, so at the end of the day, you just have to be conscious of the fact that sometimes others will put pressure on you to get things done or do things within a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. You know, you may put that pressure on you. There may be single parents. There may be, you know, somebody battling through school and trying to, you know, start their business. You might be, you know, on a job trying to start your business. Whatever it is, you might be looking at your situation and your bills. You might be looking at your situation and your finances and your relationships. And you might be putting a lot of pressure on yourself. I got to do something right away. Mm. And that can be detrimental, you know, and understanding that, you know, for me, you have to get to a place to where you're comfortable and understand that another scripture, and I'm not going to say it verbatim because I don't know it, but Habakkuk 2:2, I was talking to you about that today. Habakkuk says, write the vision on the wall plain, so therefore so all can see.
Right.
And though it may tarry, it eventually come to pass. And that thing that though it may tarry, it may take a long time. And the problem is that when we're grinding and we're out here doing it, we're out here trying to put deals together, and we're out here trying to make it all happen, we're putting this false sense of time on ourselves and this pressure on ourselves to get to be a certain place. But we're really not focusing on the self-development of who we are, or the deal itself, and understanding, is it a great deal? If it's a good deal, it'll come, it'll work itself out. You just have to be willing, number one, not to put those time frames. Don't let anyone pressure you into doing a deal, sign a deal because of whatever the reason. Because you got to deploy money. You got to put a project together. You're getting over anxious because 2019, you said you were going to do your first multifamily deal. Didn't happen. 2020, you're just eager to put it. That eagerness will cause you to make mistakes. Absolutely. And these mistakes, some of these mistakes in multifamily, Nathan, when you start getting at this level in business, you can ill afford these type of self-inflicted wounds and mistakes.
Not at all. Not at all. So
this ain't flipping houses.
It's not. It's not. So we don't want your career to be ended before it starts.
Before you ever get the horse out of the stable.
Exactly. And then so a third key to negotiation is be careful of flattery. Don't let others charm you out of paying attention to details. Stay focused. Has that happened to you, personal experience?
All the time. All the time. Especially as you start building a brand.
Right.
First thing people do is they're going to flatter you. Yeah. Oh, man, it's time for you to step this up. It's time for you to do this. You mean, and you know, not going to call anybody out.
Yeah.
But you know, we've been in projects and people have tried to force me to do a deal because it's time. Well, you've been away for so long. You've been sick and now it's you're coming back and you're telling the world you're back. You need to make an impact. No, the hell I don't. Why? to satisfy you or to satisfy people on social media. No, we'll do a deal when the deal is right for every party that's involved, not just me. So you got to be careful what people say. Oh, you're the man. It's time for you to do this. And, you know, it's time for you to do that. And you know, and a lot of people will try to, you know, persuade you to do certain deals by filling your head up with, you know, you being, you know, the number one. And, you know, and that you're the man and that, you know, or you're the woman. And, you know, let's do more deals. Let's get excited about, you know, putting some numbers up on the board. And, you know, and that's, you know, honestly, you know, you'll realize when you've been in this business as long as I have and you're a little long in the tooth, you'll realize that Coach Wooden used to always say, be quick, but don't hurry.
Right.
You know, be careful of flattery. You know what I mean? Because that flattery, will try to force you to do something a little prematurely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now we got step four or the fourth key. Understand that the devil is in the details. Write down all key points brought up during meetings involving contracts. Why is that important to pay attention to details?
Because if you're like me, you're a visionary. And a visionary is never interested in details.
Right.
They're just interested in the vision. And that's why you see me negotiating. I never bring anyone in without counsel. I always have counsel around me. You know that. You're a part of that counsel. So, because I get excited and I'm ready to go, I'm ready to sign, you know, I always feel like, oh yeah, this is meant to be.
Right.
And so, you know, that the devil is in the detail. Somebody's got to be paying attention to the detail.
True.
And so, at the end of the day, you know, the thing about being an entrepreneur is typically associated with having vision and being that visionary, that dreamer.
Yep.
And sometimes the dreamer is not the one that is, good at, you know, the details.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So someone on the team has to be good at the details. And you just, if you're not, then you need to be a great note taker. You need to record conversations it's making sure that, you know, the details are fully examined. There's due diligence done, before you make decisions.
Absolutely. And we can see that, you know, with the whole Scioto process, you know, the dreaming and the vision is great for the long-term motivation and desire to make this happen, but we definitely need to, you know, look through these deals and make sure we're, you know, crossing all our T's and dotting our I's.
Absolutely.
And then your final key that you put in here was seek qualified advice and counsel to review your contracts. Mm-hmm. So why is that the fifth key?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's having wise counsel. You know, if you're out here, you know, and there might be a few people out there that can do everything themselves. You know, I'm leery of that person.
Right.
You know, even if I feel you can, there's a reason why you're doing everything yourself and don't have a team. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. But for me personally, it's, you know, I always try to seek counsel. You've seen that, you know, I do that every day as we develop our business models. You know, I'm always speaking with Adam and Paul and, yep. You know, the attorneys, I'm always speaking with individuals that I feel that have done it, you know, or have experience. And I try to glean from that experience. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they, you know, you have to seek counsel. So, you know, you have to seek wise counsel. That's, you know, for me, that's what the attorneys bring to the table. They don't always persuade me. I listen. You know, but, you know, sometimes I take that advice and sometimes, you know, I may not. But, you know, of course, I'm always going to listen to what everyone has to say. That's a part of the team. Not everyone.
Right.
Because, you know, I'd say I block out 90% of individuals, you know, feedback or.
Correct.
Or well, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know, advice. I think I forgot what the richest man in Babylon said. Be careful of the advice you get from allured tricksters and individuals that may not be, you know, at the end of the day, may not have the experience. So, you know, if you haven't done anything, you don't have that experience, then, you know, I probably, you know, that's advice that I probably, you know, I'm not really, you know, at the end of the day, I'm careful of who I receive advice and who I have in my counsel.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. And, man, so thank you so much. I mean, as we are evaluating these deals, you know, so many people are listening to this podcast. They're desiring to own their own multifamily property. The negotiation is a big part of it. You know, getting yourself, you know, in the right deal, not feeling pressured, battling your own, you know, desires and anxiety to actually get something done. You know,
and I'll say, have that mentorship.
Yep.
Before you do your, you know, that mentorship is important to have at every level. You know, I have it. Everybody should have that, you know, and I consider my mentorship the counsel that I put around me. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, it's really important and it's wise to be able to have someone that you trust that has been there and done that from experience to be able to be your sounding board when you're negotiating. So, you know, you should never... For me, you should never be out there negotiating by yourself. You want to be able to have counsel and you want to be able to have, you know, a good sounding board, mentorship out there to be able to run your idea across. And that mentor should have experience, vast experience in that particular area that you're, you know, they should have some sort of entrepreneurial success, some sort of success, you know, getting a project across the finish line. You know, so at the end of the day, it's really important to have a good team around you.
Love it. Love it. And speaking of good teams, if you're interested in wise counsel and a good team, a good experienced team, we're here for you at brianchavis.com. You can also see us at the Multifamily Matrix. So Multifamily Matrix is our weekly coaching program full of investors, full of people who are just getting started. So you can, you know, be alongside people who are just getting started, as well as experienced investors. We've got syndication attorneys. We've got Brian Chavis in there. We've got digital marketing. We've got everything you need to help
training you. Videos,
training videos, over 130 training videos,
more coming every month.
Yeah. And we're constantly shooting footage. We've got tons of documents, over 80 different documents already. So that you can actually secure your multifamily deals in 2020.
And those documents too, I might add, are not in asset management documents, property management documents, correct, syndication documents, you know, so in all aspects, we, you know, we're all together, we probably got close to 1,000 documents.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we've got hundreds of documents in each segment.
Yep.
Property management, asset management, and syndication. So,
absolutely.
You know, as well as our library of training materials.
Yep.
That our members can have access to 30-minute if they want to put together their own training materials for their own,
correct,
meetups, if they're about to pitch an investment group and they want a well-seasoned presentation.
We've got our investor pitch deck.
Got investor pitch deck. Our analyzing software that was developed by myself as well as a gentleman that works in a private equity firm out there in San Francisco. We've got an awesome deal analyzer. You know, and I put that analyzer up against anybody's in the industry.
Absolutely.
So we have all the tools you need in the matrix to be successful. So, yeah, on board in 2020.
Absolutely. And once again, B, just always thank you so much for your knowledge, man. We've got so many great things coming up. Make sure you go to brianchavis.com. We've got some events coming up that we want you to be a part of. And also, just sign up for our newsletter so that you can stay up to date with everything that we've got going on. B, once again, man, thank you so much for joining me in the studio, brother. And I look forward to talking to you next week, man.
See you next week.
Take care.
All right, brother.